Okay, so just to begin with a technical note, so what we're going to do today is to try to cover as much of the material prior to the sugya of Basar Taiva. That we're going to have another Chazara Shir on, hopefully before Sukkot, maybe the Sunday before Yom Kippur. So we're going to try to break that up a little bit, but we'll try to cover as much ground as possible today prior to where we discussed Basar Taiva. Okay, just a general, and wanted to reiterate, I think we did a good job with this last time, but especially because there's a lot of material to cover. Again, in terms of the type of questions that are recommended for Chazara Shir, are, if I state something wrong or there's a clarification point, but to ask like Iyun questions, we'll try to reserve those or leave those for the Beit Midrash. Just a general Chazara tip. So when you think about the sugya we did in Shir, and especially for one like this where there's so much information, it's really important to try to think of the sugya as framed around a question. And when you do that, that enables you to kind of see the broader picture. Because everyone's like Shirim sometimes are like a web. And if you kind of get caught at the bottom, even if you're just understanding the daily Shir, you don't really understand the structure, the network logic. It get really confusing, but once you get it, then it's wow! Look how all this connects, and all the different parts of the sugya. So it's really important to try to frame the sugya as a with a question, and we'll do that. We'll try to do that today. Another point is that really what we were discussing in Shir was about the mitzvah of shchitas chulin. So the topic of mitzvah of shchitas kachim is relevant, but it's really a subtopic. So just keep that in mind. That's what we're really going to be trying to focus on. And finally, just a methodology point. So Rav Ron-Zvi Shirim, broadly speaking, break up into two categories. I like to call them the Mahalach Sugyo versus the multi-systemic Sugyo. And a Mahalach Sugyo is when, despite we're going to talk about all the different options, but Rav Ron-Zvi clearly has a preferred Mahalach in the Sugyo, and we're going to go through all these topics to try to hash out, that Mahalach. For example, Rav Ron-Zvi's Mahalach about Ksuva is that while the details of Ksuva are derabanan, the notion or idea is deoraisa, or that Kiddushin is the formal iser that creates all the obligations, the kinyan prior to Nisuin. And, he'll spend many shirim trying to develop that Mahalach, even though he'll mention other ones, but there's a clearly preferred Mahalach. In contrast, there's something called a multi-systemic sugya, and that means there's just a whole bunch of options. And we'll go through all of them tediously with many nafkaminot. It's not necessarily there's a clearly preferred one, it's just a lot of options. This sugya is a mahalach sugya. That what we're trying to develop is this idea of shchita as a davar shel kedusha. There's also something called a super mahalach sugya, but it's a mirsa Hashem we'll get to one day. Okay. So the main question of our sugya is, what is the nature of mitzvah shchitas chulin? And broadly speaking, we can point to two different options. The first is that shchitas chulin is a technical, a narrow matir that's purpose is to enable us to eat meat. The second option is that shchitas chulin's significance extends far beyond just being a narrow matir, namely, it is a davar shel kedusha. So I want to begin by first trying to pin down what exactly do we mean when we say a davar shel kedusha. So I think on a basic level or a starting point, we could say something along the lines of the Sefer Achinuch, that his proposal in his mitzvah Taf Nun Aleph, and he writes that mitzshchita is the most humane way to kill animals, to quote his lashon. Right. The reason why we have minatzavar b'sakin baduk. So shchita as a process or is a process that's in order to hurt animals least when killing them, and this reflects our kedushas Yisrael because we're careful to do it in the most humane way possible. So I think that's just a very basic way to try to understand what davar shel kedusha is. But what we were really saying in Shir, and this is the more, I guess, fundamental approach, which is that by having a process before we eat meat, and specifically one that derives from the world of Kachim, Shchita is making the meat-eating experience one of Kedusha. So if you think about it, meat eating could become a very vile, distasteful institution. Now, if you're just jumping over meat, you're eating it, that could become very unrefined. And what the Torah is doing is saying that you have to have, before you eat meat, you have a process, one that's from the world of Kachim. And so when you get to the framework or context of actually eating the meat, it's not you jumping all over it. It's because it's after this process that enables you to eat the meat. And the most clear source for this is in the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, Mem Dalet Aleph, when it discusses that why did the Torah give us mitzvos? So it says, Lo nitnu mitzvos, ha-mitzvos, el etzarif behenes abrios. Why did we get mitzvos? In order to refine us. And what's the example that the Medrash uses? Specifically, shechita, right? It says, who cares whether it's minatzavar, mishchoche, minaorach? But why? Letzarif behenes biosach. It's meant to refine the Jewish people, meant to refine us. By doing certain mitzvos in such a way, and Shritas Chulin is one such example. We're not just playing to our base instincts, we are doing it in a refined way via a process from Kachim. And the parallel here is similar to Kiddushin, that, and especially in the formulations of the Rambam in Aleph Aleph of Hilchos Ishus, and the Rambam here, Aleph Aleph in Hilchos Shrita, where in Kiddushin, it's that before you begin the Chayi Ha'ishus with all the Heter and the Heter Bia and all the intimacy and all that, before you can get to that point, you need to have the formal obligations, the commitment that Kiddushin demands from the husband. And so only after you do that and you have that process, that matir of Kiddushin, only after that can the suin happen. Because it has to be in this framework or context of Kedusha. And so we're saying something similar by Shechita, that we're taking something dafka from the world of Kachim, we're putting it here, and because we want to draw from the world of Kachim, this world of Kedusha, before we eat meat. Okay, so we spent a little bit of time on that, because I think that was a little unclear and sheer and hard to pin down, so hopefully that helped clarify things. Okay, but now, in order to evaluate our question of what is the true nature of Mitzvah Shechita Schulin, We need to evaluate seven different topics or issues, really, that provide indications regarding the character of Mitzvah Shechita Schulin. So just to list them off, hopefully I don't forget any. One is the relationship between Shechita Schulin and Shechita Kachim, and there will be three subtopics. The second is what type of mitzvah is counted in the Minyan HaMitzvos. Three is the bracha, is there a bracha shechita, what is the nature of bracha shechita? Four is nevela. Five is, I think, random connections between shechita and kachim, or whatever better way you want to put it in your notes. Six is the Ramban shechita, and seven is the Rambam shechita. End off with a bang, hopefully. We'll see how much time we have. Okay. So let's begin with our first section, which is the relationship between Shechitas Chulin and Shechitas Kachim. So, and the way to test, is seeing if there's overlap between the two. And so here there's really three subtopics. One is the Minyan and Mitzvos with Kachim. Two is how Shechitas Chulin is derived. And three is what other associations do we see between Shechitas Chulin and Shechitas Kachim. And that's two preliminary comments, which are a little controversial, but I think true. And I think it's important that we don't lose sight of this during all of our analysis. Chulin, number one, chulin as a mitzvah, if chulin is counted as a mitzvah, it likely establishes the importance of Shechitas Chulin. Right? That's just, now we're going to argue about type of mitzvah and all that, but just keep that in mind. Right? When we're talking about the minyan of mitzvahs, how we can likely attest to there being some sort of significance. And two, if there is overlap or connections between Shechitas Chulin and Shechitas Kachim, likely it means that Chulin is upgraded. It's not just a narrow matir. Now, we're going to spend a lot of time now showing how that's not so simple or clear, but just broadly speaking, those are two important ideas to kind of keep in the back of your head. Okay. Now, before we get to these three subtopics, right, we need to explore what is the nature of Shechitas Kodshim. So is it considered to be an avoda?
What was the third subcategory?
The third subcategory is associations between Chulin and Kodshim. Okay, so the more is it considered to be an avoda? The more we think of it as an avoda, the more likely that it's sort of an elevated institution of Kedusha, and also the reverse. So there's evidence here on both sides of the issue. The source for Shechitas Kodshim is at the beginning of Vayikra, Aleph Hey, where the Torah states, V'shachat ben abakar l'pnei Hashem, v'kruvu b'nei Aron ha-kohanim es adam, zarku es adam ha-masbeh ha-siv, asher pesach ol ha-moed. Now, on the one hand, there are clear indications that it's not an avoda. Perhaps the most obvious is, Zvachim daf yud dalet amud bet states, Shechita lav avoda hi. So that's one indication. A second is that in Zvachim lamed bet amud bet, we derive that Shechita bizarre shira from the fact that the pasuk states v'shachat, and then only later includes v'ikrivu b'nei ha'aron. So only from the hakrava and an requires kohanim, but not the shechita. And the fact that it's mutter bizarre may show that it's really just a regular chulin issue. The same way you're preparing food for eating, you're preparing food for hakrava. But on the other hand, shechita is one of the dalet avodos. Two, there's a chiyuv of the shema by shechita, mem vav amibet and zvachim, including shem zaval, shem nizbach, and other examples. The Rambam in Maisa HaKorbanos, Dalet Yud Aleph, writes that sar shetiyeh machshavto b'shas shechitas ha'ola b'shem shisha devarim. So the Rambam writes by the shema, you need to have it b'shas shechitas ha'ola. Now, the question is whether that's exclusively or not, but the Mishnah Lamelech there thinks that the Rambam holds of these dinim of Lishma only apply to Shechita and not to the other avodos. Right? Did b'shas Shechita dafka ba'ina and kavana. A third reason to think that it's not, that it is considered to be an avoda, is examples where Shechita is only, is not allowed to be, a korban is not allowed to be shechted by a zar. Now, there are a few indications of that. So, the Gemara in Yuma states that the par kohen gadol, seems to state that the par kohen gadol needs the shechita of the kohen gadol. Now, that could be for two reasons. One is that, as Tosfos states there, that debainan baalim, the kohen gadol is the baal of the korban, and therefore he needs to bring it. But it doesn't seem to be, or Rosalie said, it doesn't seem to be that clear of an answer, because in the Yerushalmi, the par b'sayir shel Yom HaKippur and Srichin Kohen, but the sayir is certainly not, there's no balus of that. So clearly, that it's not as clear-cut as what Tosfos states. Now, there's two ways to take these exceptions to the rule. One of them is, these are clearly exceptions. Only here is it considered to be an avoda, whereas everywhere else it's not considered to be avoda by all other cases. Or, as the way we were trying to argue or frame it, which is that these exceptions are prove the rule. That that the point is that these reflect on the rest of the korbanot. Always it's an avoda, but here it's particularly accentuated, and therefore here you need dafka a kohen. We'll get back to Korban Pesach a little bit later, but Shechitas Korban Pesach, again, could be another example of this, it could be another example of this. All right. Now, to our before our three subtopics, what is the significance, or if they're being overlapped between Shechitas Chulin and Shechitas Kodshim, and how do they impact each other? So this can manifest itself in five conceptual possibilities, broken down into two and three, you'll see. So, the first section would be if there's no overlap. So, if there's no overlap, that can mean one of two things. Chulin is just a narrow matir for the Isser Nevela, or maybe even an Isser Aseh, but Kodshim, in contrast, is a kiyum, it's a mitzvah, part of the avoda, devar shebekdusha. So, the reason why there's no overlap is Kodshim is, higher up, chulin is downgraded. Or they're both mitzvos, they're both impressive institutions, but different. That's a second possibility. A third is that Shechitas Kadshim is not an avodah. It's not, has no special status. It's just a preparation for other avodah. And so there's no significant difference between Chulin and Kadshim. This would be if there is overlap. The fourth possibility is that Chulin downgrades Kadshim, but Kadshim elevates Chulin. Right? So there is overlap, but it's overlap because Chulin is Kadshim is downgraded by Chulin, and Chulin is upgraded by Kadshim. We'll elaborate a little bit more on this a little bit later. And a fifth possibility is that they're both elevated as mitzvos. They're both considered to be davar shebekdusha. And so they're both elevated institutions. That's why another reason why there would be overlap. So we stated five possibilities. Now our first subtopic, yeah. Yeah. So one is that Kadshim is up, Chulin is down. Two is that Chulin and Kadshim are both up but different. Then if there is overlap, it's that Chulin and Kadshim are both down. If there is overlap, number four, it could be because Kadshim is slightly down and Chulin is slightly up as a derivative of each other. And five is that if they're both up. That's just a really simple way of putting it. Now, these five options are clearly reflected in our first subtopic, which is the Minyan Mitzvos with Kadshim. The first is that Shlitas Chulin is just a matir while Kadshim is elevated. So the clearest example of this is the Bahag. Right? The Bahag, at least according to the Ramban and the Tashbits, counts Shlitas Kadshim as a separate mitzvah, but does not count Shlitas Chulin. The second approach we mentioned, that they're both mitzvos and impressive institutions, but their natures are different. So that could be found in the Rasajagon. So Rasajagon, it's always hard to read Rasajagon because it's a poem. We don't really know exactly what he's saying. But he counts two mitzvos regarding Shechita. And the question is, what exactly does he mean? Right? One for Chulin. So Rav Yochanan Fishel Perla has his own explanation for it. But Rav Rosenzweig suggested that it's possible, really, there are two mitzvos. Right? One, the Kadshim Shechita is about the Shema and Pigel, while Chulin could be more about Hechsher, it could be more about Hechsher or Matir. So then you could have two distinct mitzvos, right? So they're both sort of elevated, but different. In terms of both are Matir, it's a little harder to find a Shita that demonstrates this, but Tosfos in a number of places states that, really defines Kadshim by the fact that it's Kshir Bazaar. So it seems like it could be that really we're saying Kadshim is downgraded, but it's not really a clear shita for that one. The fourth option, that Chulin is upgraded but Kadshim is downgraded. So who's this? Come on. Rambam, right? That the Rambam has this relationship that while, and why? How do we know this? What does Rambam count? Chulin as a mitzvah, but Kadshim, no mitzvah. How could that be? Also, Rambam does include Shechita as one of the Dalet Avodos in the Sefer, in the introduction, in the Sharashim to the Sefer Mitzvos. So it's clear that the Rambam does project a certain status to Shechita's Kadshim, but at the same time, doesn't count as a mitzvah, he counts Shechita's Chulin. So we're going to develop the Rambam at much greater length later on, but just for now, right, the Rambam thinks that Kadshim is downgraded according to Rosenzweig and Chulin is upgraded. Yeah. Sadi Gimel and Sadi He. That's what Brooklyn Fishel Pearl is dealing with, which is how can you have. Well, the whole question. No. The question is, what are these two possibilities? So, Brooklyn Fishel Pearl argues. Yeah, but the fact that he thinks it's impossible for both reflects that. But that's because of conceptual perspective. He's saying it can't possibly be that there's both.
Yeah, he said no one.
But shows that what? That in theory, if for not this his own conceptual perspective, that theoretically there could have been two mitzvos read into Rav Sajagon. Now, Rosenzweig's argument was that, hey, maybe that conceptual perspective is not so compelling. And in theory, it wouldn't be impossible for there to be two mitzvos. But it's clear that Rav Sajagon.
Read the mitzvah itself.
No, he's arguing on the
idea that you can't have two mitzvahs.
Yeah, which are right. You know, I don't think he thinks that Rav Saad Yagon definitely has two mitzvahs. His point was that Rav Saad Yagon counts two things. I appreciate the clarification. That Rav Saad Yagon counts two things. We don't really know what that second one is. We don't really know what the first one is either. But we assume one is Shchita Chulin. Rav Yochanan Pesach Pralat says it's impossible that this would be, you know, two mitzvahs of Kachim and Chulin, and because of conceptual perspective. But Rav Rosenberg says that no, it could be. Right? Theoretically, it could be two. Yeah, I don't think he's trying to pin down. I think he even said it's hard to pin down Rav Saad Yagon. We don't really know what he's saying usually. Yeah.
Would you quote in the name of Tosfos in your third option?
Yeah, Tosfos just in a bunch of places. I think like Megillah Chaf on the bed, or just like really downplays Shita's Kachim. You can take a look there. Okay. The fifth possibility is that both are elevated as, you know, as mitzvah. So here, there's a few options. One is the Urayim, right? Because the Urayim counts both together. Additionally, the Kina Sofrim's understanding of the Bahag is that he counts Shitas Kachim, Shitas Chulin together. And Rav Yochanan Pesach Perlau, right, as we just discussed, Rav Yochanan Pesach Perlau thinks that really Shitas Kachim, Shitas Chulin are one mitzvah and not two. This is both are elevated within the overlap. There's overlap. There's overlap in that they're both counted together as one mitzvah, and that's because both are elevated institutions. Now, the idea here, right, is that if there's over like these different perspectives that there's overlap the Urayim, it's attesting to this idea that Shitas Chulin is this davar shebikdusha, etc. Now, our second subtopic is how is Shitas Chulin derived. And that is also, this topic is very telling in terms of the relationship between Shchitas Chulin and Shchitas Kachim. So in Parshas Re'eh, there are two sections that deal with Shchita outside the strict realm of Korbanot. So Tedvav and then Chaf Bet through, Chaf through Chaf Bet. So Yud Bet Tedvav and then Yud Bet Chaf through Chaf Bet. So the pasuk in Devarim Yud Bet Tedvav says, Rak b'chol avadna shachat tizbach v'achalta basar, So Rashi and the Sifri both argue or understand that this pasuk is referring to kachim that was pasul. That's Rashi and the Sifri. Now the status of psulim mekdashim is very interesting because there's no iser. You know, there's an Isra of Giza, but it's also, it could see the Isle that they become Tameh. So it's sort of an in-between status, Psulim Mekdashim, which just makes sense intuitively. So that, while Rashi and Sifri understand those Psukim to be referring to Psulim Mekdashim, Rashbam and Ibn Ezra in a very fascinating way, but Rashbam and Ibn Ezra both understand Yud Bet Tedvav to actually be talking about Shchitas Chulin. Now, the next possibility, which is really the one that predominantly the Mefarshim understand to be the mitzvah of Shlitas Chulin, is Yud Bet Chaf and through Chaf Bet. So the Psukim read, Ki Yarchiv Hashem Alukecha Esbulecha Kasher Diber Lach V'Yamarta Ochla Basar Ki Taver Nafshecha Le'chol Basar. Later on, it says, the Chaf Aleph, Ki Yarchiv Mecham Akom Asher Yarchar Hashem Alukecha L'asum Shem Osham V'Zavachta Mibkarecha Mitzonecha Asher Nesan Hashem Alukecha Lach V'cha Kasher Tzivisicha. So now there's really two phrases here that we're kind of struck by. One is, v'zavatim b'karecha mitzonecha, and two is, kasher tzivisicha. So the Rambam and Rashi both understand that v'zavatim b'karecha mitzonecha is a mitzvah saseh for shchitas chulin. Now, what is the understanding of kasher tzivisicha? And here we really have this question of, you know, what's the nature of shchitas chulin kind of in the back of our minds, because we'll see whether it's connected to kachim or not and how it's derived. So one possibility of kasher tzivisicha presented by Rashi, Al-Atar, the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Chav Chedem and Aleph, and the Rambam in Aleph Dalid, understands kasher tzivisicha to be referring to halacha l'moshe misinai. As Rashi puts it, yesh tziva bezvicha, tziboy bezvicha, heyach yeshcho. B'chein hilchol shchita shnei l'moshe misinai. Rashi is actually quoting the Sifri, but he forgets he leaves out one very important part of the Sifri intentionally. Now there, we don't really see a connection between Shchitas Chulin and Shchitas Kachim. Right? Shchitas Chulin doesn't seem to be related to the world of Kachim there necessarily. The second possibility here is that it is a reference to Kachim. This is reflected in the Sifri, who writes, Kasher Tzivisicha, Ma Kachim Bishchita, Af Chulin Bishchita. The Ramban also presents it this way, actually a little more strongly. So he states, Kasheba Lehiter Basar Chulin, Amar Bezavatim Karcha Mitzunacha, Kasher Tzivisicha. What's Kasher Tzivisicha referring to? The Yosam Korbanos. So what does it have to be styled after? You need to treat Basar Chulin the same way you treat Basar Kachim. And here, this can be taken in a very strong way, that, you know, Shchitas Chulin and Shchitas Kachim really possess the same nature. And we'll get back to the Ramban a little bit later. It's a very important Ramban. The Bach here, interestingly, argues that he's totally against this notion that he could derive Shchitas Chulin from Shchitas Kachim or compare their natures. Why? Shchitas Chulin, how you don't need Kavana. Shchitas Kachim, you do need Kavana. So, if that's the case, how could you possibly derive Shitas Chulin from Shitas Kachim? Therefore, the Bach holds that it has to be a halacha l'moshe misinai, kasher tzivisicha lamish nistav moshe alpeh behelchos shchita. Okay. That's the second subtopic. The third subtopic is other associations with Kachim. This is where it gets really interesting. So, do we see other associations with Kachim? Here I'd like to point to four different examples of where we see other associations with Kachim, three where Chulin and Kachim are upgraded, and number four where Kachim is downgraded. Okay, the first is the Rosh in Ketubot, who we'll get back into, we'll revisit his opinion a little bit later, but he suggests that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, and he says that it's justified. Why? Because there's a mitzvah in his third answer, right? Because it's a mitzvah for Kachim. So the fact that there is a Birchas HaMitzvah in Kachim also, or Bracha in Kachim, also means that here there should be a Bracha. So we see Chulin's upgraded by Kachim. Two, the Or Zarua is also troubled by a different problem, which is that he thinks that any mitzvah that doesn't have a time where you'd be Pater doesn't get a Bracha. And the question is why Shchita gets a Bracha if Shchita is a constant obligation every time you want to eat meat. So his first answer is that because Shchitas Kachim has a hefsek at a time when you are pater there, then we will make a bracha for Shchitas Chulin also. So this is, again, attesting to the idea that there's a strong relationship between Shchitas Chulin and Shchitas Kachim. Rav Yossi Ibn Palat, I was discussing this with Yehuda before, so maybe I'll call him out. So Rav Yossi Ibn Palat, right, so what does he say about Shchita, about why there's a bracha for Shchitas Chulin? The Shmim Deim answer, Yehuda. What does he say there?
He says that because by Kachim there ought to be a bracha and they used to be a connection because it's a Mechira by Kachim.
Yeah.
The Kachim, therefore now there is a bracha by Shmim.
Right. So simply put, there are the Rav Yossi Ibn Palat and the Tumim Deim answer, not the Avudram answer, because there he doesn't really mention Kachim, but at least here he says the fact that there was, it was only Shitas Kachim, but Midbar, therefore now, because there's a bracha there, we should also have a bracha now by Shitas Chulin. So again, we see Shitas Kachim, Shitas Chulin. You can actually take a look there. It's a little complicated, but take a look. There's three sort of formulations of Rav Yossi Ibn Palat, the Rashba, the Tumim Deim, and the Avudram. So the Tumim Deim is the one that I'm pointing to, because there he talks about Shchitas Kachim. Avudram one, I don't think he does. Now, a fourth one, I think this is really interesting, which is reflecting that the connection actually downgrades Kachim, is Tosos and Zavachim Daf Yud Dalet Amud Bet. So there the Rishonim are discussing the Gemara we mentioned earlier about the Shchita Ksher Bazar, and the Yaakov Merlins, right? Three Merlins? Who is that? The Yaakov Merlins? Okay, good. I'm getting that nod from Alex, so I'm good. So he writes that it's not an avoda. Why? Lefi sheshave bechulin ubekadshim. Imkein lav mitam avoda tziva hamakom shchita. Such strong language again. Lefi sheshave bechulin. Why is Mifaris lav avoda? Why is it not avoda? Lefi sheshave bechulin ubekadshim. It's shave within these two categories. Imkein lav mitam avoda tziva hamakom shchita. It can't be because of avoda. Because of shchitas chulin and Shchitas Chulin's existence, it downgrades Shchitas Kachim. So there you see a way of downgrading Kachim as a result of Chulin.
Does
Okay, so those were, that was the first topic, which is the relationship between Shitas Chulin and Shitas Kachin. Now we move into a second issue, which is what type of mitzvah is it? Yeah.
What was that last point in the bracha section as opposed to,
it happened to be that the first three things I mentioned all sort of relate to the bracha. Our point was just that we see that Shechitas Chulin is upgraded by Shechitas Kachim for both all three of those perspectives.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quick. Before, when you discussed the associations between Chulin and Kachim, the only connection you brought between them was the opinion of the Ramban. So it's crazy if you also meant to connect the Rashi, to understand that you're talking about Mutashim. Would that also connect?
I don't see why that would connect necessarily, because that's a different section, the Psulei Mikdashim part.
But no? Is it referencing back to Basra? No, I don't know. I just didn't have that. That was a question. But I was asking, was Rashi referencing back to Basra Tai, like he says it both times? But there's actually not. Like, it just happens to say the same thing twice. So Rashi's have to figure out what each one means, and that was it.
No, because Rashi thinks that Ted Vav is Psulei Mikdashim, Chav Tu Chav Bed is regular.
No, I know, but I'm saying that you'd still connect to close each other and also the words of the Master Taiva.
Okay, so let me think about it a little bit. But you're saying that the fact that they're close by.
You put it in the source, in the section of association between Chulin and Kachin, and the only connection you brought was the Ramban. So I was curious if anything else in that section.
Because the Sifri also states it.
The Sifri.
Yeah, the Ramban's.
The Sifri and the Ramban. It seemed like the rest of the Sifri that you discussed didn't discuss the topic.
Those are all sort of examples that they might not be connected.
Oh, fine. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so now we move into our second section, which is the type of mitzvah. So basically, anytime you have issues of how you count a mitzvah, it really revolves around two separate principles, right? One is the standards and rules for mitzvahs, and two is the content of mitzvah. So we're not really going to go deep into, you know, who counts what type of mitzvah and not. Just a general Rosenzweig point. Rosenzweig is very into, like, thinking about things more fundamentally or conceptually. So he doesn't like rules so much about Monei Mitzvos, and that's why he always picks on Reuven Fischer Perlau, because Reuven Fischer Perlau always is like, oh, this is because of the Sadja Gaon's, you know, a perspective on, he always counts this way, whenever he counts say and Lav, he always counts it this way or that way. Rosenzweig's like, no, he counts it because this is his conceptual perspective about this issue. This happens all the time. And so it's not just Rav Yochanan Fischer Perlau, it's just very often an easy target for Rosenzweig. Okay, so now how do the various categories of mitzvos and the way they are counted by the Monei Mitzvos influence our perspective on the character of these mitzvos, okay? So here we can point to five different options. Just before we present the first two, it's interesting to note that the Ramban kind of conflates Isser Aseh and Matir for the Bahag in the Sefer Mitzvot Shorash Aleph. So we'll get to that in a second. The Prima Gadim, though, argues that they're clearly two different categories. So the first is a Matir. That's the first way you could categorize Shechitas Chulin. And here, right, it's just a procedure to sort of eliminate an Isser. And this is the really very clearly the first side of our Chakir we mentioned at the beginning of the Shir. So who can we point to as it just being a Matir? So lots of people. First, the Bahag does not count the mitzvah of Shechitas Chulin. And as the Ramban puts it, likely reflects that it's just a Matir. The Rashbats is probably the strongest perspective here. The Rashbats says that one who doesn't in the tshuva and in his and in the tashbetz, right? So he says that one who hasn't shechted lacks nothing, right? He says that you're the same spiritual profile before and after. You don't gain anything, you don't lose anything. He says that it's a matir for nevela in one place, and then I think in the tshuva he writes it's a matir for Eber Menachai. I think it's the other way around. Other way around, you sure? Alex, which way is it? Okay, someone will test. Yeah. But either in one place it says Eber Menachai, one place it says Nevela, but it's the same idea, right? That really they're connected. But the point is, it's a matir. The Ramban, we stated that before. So Ramban's understanding of the Bahag is that it's because it's a matir. Tosos and Shavuos by Ein Isser Chal Isser. Just to briefly backtrack for just a moment, the Tosos in Shavuos discusses the if you have a nevela on Yom Kippur, and Rashi, and you're not chayav for Zacharias. Why? Because ain't Esar Chalal Esar. Now, the question is, how could that be the case? So Rashi states that it's, because there was Eiver Menachai, and then after it was Nevela, so there's already an antecedent Isser. Now, Tosfos and the Ritzvah disagree about what it is. So the Ritzvah, so Tosfos will foreshadow the next category. Tosfos states that, no, there's an Isser Aseh. What's the Isser Aseh? Ena Zavucha. Right, that's the way Tosfos puts it. It's Ina Israel of Ina Zavucha. Now the Ritzvah has a whole issue with that because Rishah says, how could this be Ina Zavucha? Then there'd never be a concept of Eiver Menachai or Nevela because you always have the Israel of Ina Zavucha. So he argues that it's just about the it's just a matir. Someone have the lashon for that? I think I might actually have it. The Ritzvah. Anybody have it by any chance? The line about the matir part. Thought I had it somewhere. Oh, here I have it. Zavachta l'asa l'isser devlav hachi aser. So he says, what is it? Ela ba l'hatir etza iser. So this is Tosfos Shavuos Chaf Daled Amud Aleph. Okay. And yeah, the Tashbitz. Okay, fine. Okay. The Tashbitz is Aleph Kuf Mem. Just to get that on the record. Second category is the lav haba michlal aseh, or an iser aseh. So the Ramban, as we noted before, kind of conflates lav haba michlal aseh and a matir, and he kind of uses both for the bahag. One place he says about elu heter iser hein, he's referring to erim tiel sadaim and shchita, and then later on he says that it's a lav haba michlal aseh. Now the Ravid. And also I should have mentioned the Ravid in the previous category. Rav Rosenzweig read the Ravid as having two answers. Right? The first answer that says not what are you counting this for at all? It's not a mitzvah. And the second possibility is that it is a mitzvah. Maybe it is a mitzvah, but it's a lav haba michlal aseh. So that's the two possibilities in the Ravid. That's, I think, Kuf Mem Vav in the Sefer HaMitzvah. The Rambam has the minion of mitzvah, so the beginning of Mishneh Torah. I think it's Kuf Mem Vav.
If it's the lav haba michlal aseh, that means...
It's Israel, yeah. Israel say, yeah.
If the Ravid holds this lava machal, then he doesn't count to be seen that Ravid, you count.
Yeah, so that's the way, I think it's an interesting way to read it, but yeah, either Ravid's giving two answers for himself or for the Rama, how he could read it, but yeah. He says Ula, I think it's like Ula, lava machal, say. Okay. That's the, so that's the Ravid. The Prima Gadim also believes that these are the two Deos and Tosfos against the Ramban. Another Shita here is the Rav Avraham ben Arambam. Okay, so Rav Avraham ben Arambam holds that there is an Isser Aseh as well. For time reasons, we won't go fully into it, but he thinks that the way he clearly presents that there is a Isser Aseh is because that his argument is there is an Isser Aseh because Nevela wouldn't fully encompass all the categories because it could be Isser Nevela, but there's not an Isser of Ena Zavuach, right? What could be a case of that? When it dies Me'eleha, so that's still a case of Nevela. That's not a case of not being Shech. You didn't violate anything by it being Ena Zavuach there. So, but the point is less about what a specific Shita is. It's just clear that he holds as an Isser Aseh, or Rav Ben Arambam. That's in his response to the Rav Daniel Bavli in the Maisa Nisim. And then Rav Yochanan Fischer Perlau, now we gotta redeem ourselves with him, but Rav Yochanan Fischer Perlau says that the Isser is not on the person who eats it, it's really on the person who messed up the Shchita. So someone who shechs Shelo Karaoi, that's considered to be the over the violation, the Isser Aseh of Zvicha. So that's Rav Yochanan Fischer Perlau. That's another. It's a different way of formulating it, but it's also he believes it's an Isser Aseh. Quickly, yeah.
If the according to Rav Yochanan Fischer Perlau, say, if on the Isser Gavra on the Bachar, then isn't that just that's just not
Oh, you think it's... I thought the way we understood it was that it's an Isra say. Let's see. Well, no, because his no. No, because he... No, because he... I don't think so, because he's... No, because his context is after explaining the Rambam and Rambam, who clearly holds it's Isra say. So it's his context is very clear that's Isra say. All right, what do you think? So you think it's an essay? Even though he's counting after Rambam and Rambam?
Yeah, I think that's what he's trying to
explain,
at least within Rosetta.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Okay, maybe. Actually, what's the also came in there? No, because Avar Ba'asei Zu. No, it's Avar Ba'asei Zu. Well, it sounds like an Isser, yeah. Well, Yitzi, what are you going to say?
Well, most of the people who call it an Isser Asse, they formulate it as an Asse with an Isser Asse.
Yeah, that's
right. Especially in the Rambam and the Rambam, he's formulating it, the Rambam has a Mitzvah Seh Lizabachta with an Isser Asse.
Yeah, but he's saying there is exist an Isser Asse for...
meaning it's not exclusive to...
Right, it could be, yeah. But there is, right, there could be that there's a... Right, okay, I think that's a fair point. Let's just move on, because I don't want to run out of time here. Okay, the third possibility, the third category... is the idea that there's a contingent chiyuv. So this, you know, there are different examples of this, what that means, but basically when you get into a situation, then you're a chayuv. So the Kesef Mishnah writes that in a situation where you have a desire to eat meat, then shechita becomes a chiyuv. So that's the Kesef Mishnah. I think pretty sure also Kuf Mem Vav in the Minyan HaMitzvot's Kesef Mishnah states that explicitly. He says, oh, here. He has say lemisha yirtza. So he's defending the Rambam against the Ravid. He says, it's an asay lemisha yirtza. Okay. Another possibility is that the kiyum b'li chiyuv, that there's no chiyuv to do the mitzvah, but if you do it, then you've been mekayin the mitzvah. That's a fourth category. It's possible that, shlita could have fit into that category theoretically. And then the fifth is that it's a matir, but a matir that's a mitzvah. So here we can sort of formulate that in two different ways. So the first is that a matir can become a mitzvah. So not all matirim are mitzvahs, right? Just start step one, right? Not all matirim are mitzvahs, you know, nicker, right? Like that's when you're deveining the animal. So that's a matir. That's not a mitzvah, though. So when is a matir a mitzvah? So one possibility is when it's a formal requirement rather than just a physical act. So... what's a good example of this? Shechita. Because what happens if an Akum chefs? Totally fine. Got the nice, you know, the great knife. What happens? No one knows? Puzzle, right? But it's the same physical action. So it's not just this, you know, physical thing, right? It's also this formal matir. And so that could be, I think it's like a question between the difference between like a pula and a chalos. But here, it's not just a physical requirement or a physical act. There's some sort of formal element, and that's when you might count a matir. A second possibility for you to count a matir, and this is our preferred perspective, is that there are certain matirim which are reflections of Kedushas Yisrael or project our notion of Kedushas Yisrael. So just a few examples, right? Get the fact that you can't just leave a marriage, you know, so easily. It reflects that there's really something there beforehand, right? The Kiddushin, as we stated before, that's another example of a matir that reflects Kiddushas Yisrael. And so here we would state that Shechita is projecting or reflecting Kiddushas Yisrael, that we're trying to be Mekadesh, the meat eating. Okay. So... and then there's a whole other question, which is about the brachos. So when do you make a bracha on a matir that's a mitzvah? So there it needs to be like a happy moment. It can't just be like a sad moment. So that's, for example, like chalitza, right? Or other examples like that. Okay.
Would you mind elaborating on that last part, or it's not?
Not so important. It's an interesting point, but maybe we'll do the base medrash, maybe. Okay. Fine. So that was our second section, and that again, just reflect, right, the idea that the more you know, the way we formulate what type of mitzvah shchita is can reflect whether it's just a more narrow point, or, you know, if it's a matir, then that's actually much more expansive, reflects much more positively about the nature of mitzvah shchita shchulin. It's much more ambitious. It's a matir that reflects Kedushas Yisrael. So that's just another way of, you know, relating back to our original chakira. A third topic is the bracha of shchita. So a couple of points here. We're not going to go into full depth here for the sake of time, but so just two issues I want to point out. So first, right, is there a bracha? So there are a few potential sources for there being a bracha, right? One is the the Yerushalmi and Brachos very clearly states there's a bracha, but it's just before or after. The Gemara and Pesachim clearly states there's a bracha, and it seems to be in the context of brachas and mitzvos. The Gemara in Peivav and Bet here also refers to some sort of bracha, but the question is whether it's referring to Kisoy or not, Kisoy Adam or not. So the Rambam understands it's referring to Kisoy Adam, but the predominant approach is that it's also referring to a bracha, but there we don't really get much of an indication about what type of bracha it is. So the Gemara in Pesachim has this girsa of the girsa there is lo sagya. Yeah. So the Gemara there basically says, what type of bracha should you make? And the Gemara states that it should be ala shchita, but then it gets a little confusing in terms of the girsa. So the Bahag's girsa, or the Ramban's attributed girsa to the Bahag, is lema lishcho lo sagya de lo shachet, which is not the alternative is that lo sagya de la, for him, to ihu lo shachet, something like that. So the point is, for the Bahag's girsa, it's about, it's fine if he doesn't do the mitzvah, it's fine if he doesn't shecht, because like there's no chiyav ever to shecht. It's not really a chiyav at all. Oh, he doesn't have to shecht at all. Right? I mean, obviously you need to, but there's no mitzvah to do it. It's just a reshus. Whereas if it's ihu, that he has no obligation to do it, there's definitely a chiyav. There's definitely a, you know, a mitzvah there to do it, but it's just, I don't have to do it. I could pass it on to Crane. I don't have to do it myself. You know, he could do it. So that's just one way this question of bracha could reflect whether or not it's a reshus or a chova, whether or not it's just a matir or a mitzvah. Now, in terms of the whether or not it's a mitzvah, so we have a few different perspectives. So the Rambam quite clearly holds it's a mitzvah, because the Rambam holds its principle you have to do it beforehand. So it's Aleph Bet in the Rambam. The Rambam holds its birchas a mitzvah. The Rush as well basically says it's a birchas a mitzvah. The Rush provides three reasons for why. The most interesting one, actually not the most interesting one, three might be the most interesting one, but one is very important because he says that the Rush writes that the only way you could eat meat is through shchita as the matir, but in contrast to kiddush, to peri v'rivia, where you could do it not on derech kiddushin, you could do through pilagesh or otherwise. And the point there is that davka, because it's an exclusive matir, it's a mitzvah. So that's it's a birchas mitzvah. So that's, it's kind of interesting. Rodents, I like that, because it's davka. The matir part of it, and the fact that it's an exclusive matir, is the reason why I'd be a birchas mitzvah. The Rush's second answer is that it's lashon tzivoy here, not by kiddushin, because that's really the Rush is trying to address, right? As we know, why bracha and shchita, short bracha and shchita, not on kiddushin. And the third answer we mentioned before is that there's a bracha for kachim, but the Rush is clear it's a birchas mitzvah. Now, the best shita here is by far of Eldad Hadani, which is what's his shita? No one knows the most exciting shita. Pigle, right? He doesn't say pigle. I don't think he says pigle, but I think Mordechai says it, right? He says it himself. I think Mordechai attributes it. Yeah. But yeah. So he holds that the bracha is ma'akev. If you don't make the bracha, shchita is, I don't know a good Yiddish word for it, but whatever, it's messed up. The shchita is doesn't work. So, well, toy nisht, great, thank you. Okay, so yeah, so the the question is, what exactly does this mean, that a bracha would be ma'akev? So I think the way we're trying to explain it is that the bracha is ma'akev because, and here it's because we're trying to project that chulin, shidas chulin is this darav shebekdusha, it's this important mitzvah. So in order to do that, we need to add additional chumrot to kind of emphasize this. And one way of doing that is by the bracha. In contrast to by shkidas kachim, you don't need to do that because there it's already a shariyah v'kayim. That's clear that it's this mitzvah of kedusha. So that's just a really interesting shita. Now it's particularly important because the Rambam dafka seemingly rejects it. The Rambam definitely rejects it, but he kind of acknowledges the idea. We'll get to that later. Now the Taz claims it's berachah shavu da, lot going on there in that Taz, but the Taz claims the Berachah Shavu Oda. Now, where Rosenzweig argued is that both for the Taz and for the Rush and everyone else holds the Berachah Mitzvah, it's all projecting that it's a reflection of Kedushas Yisrael, it's a Dover Shal Kedusha. For the Berachah Mitzvah, it's kind of easy to say that, but you're saying that also, he said that Davka for the Berachah Shavu Oda, then we would think that it's about Kedushas Yisrael, because what are you waxing, poetic about in a Sheva Fohoda. Wow, that we have, thank you for being Makadesh us with the Chulin, by enabling us to have become a Darvish Kedusha. So he kind of collapsed the Chakira there of Rosenzweig. It's like, oh, really, everyone holds it. It's just interesting because the Rush in Kedushin, which everyone says, the Rush is downplaying the importance of Kedushin because he says the Berachah Sheva Fohoda. Also now we're saying, oh, he's maybe Davka the one that also holds its, this elevated institution. Okay, that was the third topic in terms of bracha. Fourth topic is nevela and treifa. So here, I think there's some really amazing diukim. So first, the devarim, perek yedal at pasuk chaf aleph, the Torah details, lo tochlu kol nevela, la gerash yer bisharecha tinena, v'achla machal nachig, why? Ki am kadosh tal Hashem lo pecha, lo tava shal gedi b'chalev imo. Now, how do you understand this pasuk? So what is the Ki Am Kadosh Atah L'Hashem Elokecha referring to? So the Ramban states that it's referring to the Am Kadosh Atah L'Hashem Elokecha Davak Im Lo Tva Shel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. Why? Because Ki Inam Achal Nitayev, it's not some, to'eva, this type of food. Aval Yasor Oso Li'osinu Kedoshim B'Machalim. Why are you prohibited from eating it? Not because it's itself something disgusting, but it's prohibiting us to eat it because we're trying to be kadosh b'machal, and we're trying to go a step above. Inherently or terrible about it, but we're just trying to go a step above. Yam kadosh, right? Now, Hashem Elokecha. Now, Rav Rosenzweig basically argued is that the Ramban's position can be shifted to the first part of the pasuk. Now, so basically, take what he said about basar gedi b'chalav imo, take that and shift that to the part about nevela. And nevela is all about Kedushas Yisrael. Nothing inherently wrong with it, but we avoid it because we are, a step above where Kedushas Yisrael, where kadosh. Now, the basis for shifting it is twofold. One is the trup. Not really Baal Kore, but the Nachta kind of implies that it's really Kedushas Elokecha is referring to the previous part of the Pasuk. And two, the Sforno writes that it's really referring to the first part of the Pasuk. So just take the Ramban, replace the Gedi B'Chalav Imo with Nevela. Now, it's not inherently disgusting, but it's flowing from the Kedushas Yisrael. Now, it's really interesting because the nevela is not just another iser, but it actually might be definitional to what Am Yisrael and Kedushas Yisrael is all about. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and this is if you've heard this Gemara before, it's like, oh, it's not so surprising, but it's truly, it's shocking, right? So Gemara in Avodah Zarah says there are three things that can define or presents three definitions for the for Ger Toshav. And this is Avodah Zarah Samach Dalet Amud Bet. The first is the Shita of Rabbi Meir. So what is it? He's mekabel upon himself to not do a avodah zarah in front of Beis Din. Chachamim say he's mekabel upon himself to follow the Zion mitzvos b'nei Noach. Ah, but what do the acherim say? Chayim say he's makaba upon himself all mitzvos except that he doesn't eat nevelo. That's the only distinction between him and Yisrael, is that he doesn't eat nevelo. Shock. Now, the Rambam doesn't really pask in this way, like the Achirim. He says it's upon someone's makaba upon himself in front of basin to not do avodah zarah. But Rashi and Re'eh and other places mentions that it's someone who's makabel upon himself not to do avodah zara, and he eats nevelo. So this is clearly part of it. So even though he's holding there like Rabbi Meir, right, he's still adding in this idea that he accepts all mitzvahs except for nevelo. The Yushami in Yevamos also seems to indicate that him eating nevelo is some sort of a positive. Take a look there. Now, it's also particularly interesting that if you think about it, in the Midbar, right, Bnei Israel may have been allowed to eat nevela, right, if you hold like Rabbi Akiva. So you're allowed to eat nevela. Clearly nevela couldn't have been all that bad, right, if you're allowed to eat it in the Midbar. And also, we would never give it to a Ger Toshav if it was all that bad. So we see the Ramban's our interpretation of the Ramban, or placement of the Ramban on the earlier part of the Pasuk, it's about Kiyat Alam Kadosh Hashem L'Kacha, nothing inherently wrong with it, but it's about Kedush Yisrael. We see that it might be definitional to what the distinction between a Ger Toshav and Yisrael is. It might not even be that bad, as the Gemara in Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi states, and we are allowed to eat it in the Midbar. So what can we say about this? And what's also interesting is that, and it's a little hard to pin down what exactly it means here, but Nevela, you state, or Brunswick said, was this is the paradigm of Machal Sasuros. Now, all this evidence, what is this attesting to? Saying that Kedushas Yisrael is, if the point is that this isn't really so bad, why aren't we doing it? The point is that, because Kedushas Yisrael is about going a step above, right? It's about elevating this process into a Devar Sol Kedusha, even if it wouldn't have been necessarily so bad otherwise. Nevela is telling us that it's a the fact that we're prohibited from nevela, and that's definitional, saying the mitzvah of shechita is all about Kedushas Yisrael. It's about this elevation of the process of eating meat. An additional ha'ara here was very interesting is the Ramban, in a different context, in Shemot Chaf Bet Lamed, says something similar about treifa. The pasuk also conjoins, you know, Kedushas Yisrael and treifa, and Rav Chaim's idea about treifa is that treifa is really just is just missing the heter shechita. And so if treifa, not eating treifa, is about Kedushas Yisrael, and all that distinguishes treifa from being able to be eaten is shechita, that again attests to the idea that Shechita is all about this idea of Kedusha, about what distinguishes Bnei Israel from other nations. Now, we got into the random evidence for Kedusha section. You don't want to get to that? You want to ask a question?
Does that matter that we're talking about Nevela and Treifa?
So he's saying that Treifa could be another example of reflection that Shechita is this Darur Sol Kedusha, because Treifa is only missing Shechita, and the fact that we don't eat Treifos is part of what of Kedushas Yisrael. That's Shmo Chaf Bet Lamed. Good? Okay. Now, the random evidence for Shechita section before we get to the Ramban and Rambam. So here we could point to, I think, six different proofs. We'll see how long this takes. Maybe we'll cut it down to five. So the first is that in Bereishis Lamed Zayin Lamed Aleph, that's the story of Yosef and his brothers. And that whole story is about the brothers being achzari, being cruel, acting egregiously. What's one example there of something they do? They shecht the Se'iri Zim, and they put it on the Ketonat Yosef. Now, the whole point of that entire story is about how egregiously they're acting. The fact that one of the examples is them taking shechita, of doing shechita, means that you're taking this elevated institution and you're doing something terrible with it. And so Rosenzweig felt that could be a reflection that Shechita is this very holy institution, and that's part of what is so horrible about what they did. Second proof, or association between Kachim and Chulin. What Seder is Kachim, is a Chulinin? Seder Kachim in the Gemara. Rambam, third, Rambam puts in the Sefer Kedusha. We'll get back to that in a little bit, but the Rambam puts in the Sefer Kedusha. That's number three. The Torah uses the word v'shachat in a number of places, or for Shidas Kachim, the Torah uses the word v'shachat, while v'chul in the Torah says v'zavachta, even though zvachim are the korbanos and shchita is by regular chulin. Now, this reflects that we can take kachim and implant it in chulin and sort of the reverse, because there's this connection between the two. A fifth point of evidence for the fact that shchita chulin is upgraded, it might be a matter of kedusha, is the Ibn Ezra. So the Ibn Ezra states that he has his Hava Mina in, I think, Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. I'm not sure where he says this. Maybe it's in the Vayikra piece, where he says that you might have thought that you can eat, you might not have been able to eat Basar Taiva and Chutz La'aretz. Right? So the whole point of that pasuk is teaching you that you could eat Basar Taiva and Chutz La'aretz. Because basically, what does he do with Chaf through Chaf Bet? We thought Ted Vav was talking about Shritas Chulin. So he's saying that Chaf through Chaf Bet is to establish that you can eat in the Chutz La'aretz. How could you possibly think that you can only eat it in Eretz Yisrael? Oh, Eretz Yisrael is a place of Elabit Kedusha for Klal Yisrael. Only there could you do Shchita. But once you're outside Eretz Yisrael, you can't apply this holy institution. Okay, not the case, but the Hava Mina reflects that Shchita Shulin is upgraded. Sorry, is this elevated institution. Very briefly, excuse me, mentioned it very briefly, the Rambam has a shita about counting lav abam lechal aseis. The Ramban doesn't count them. The Rambam, many people think he does. Rav Rosenzweig thinks that he doesn't actually count them. Only if there is an asei component does he count them. And also he thinks that when he does count them, they're not really lav abam lechal aseis anymore. They're really a kiyum of an asei. So one example of this is the bedikos, right? So the Rambam says dias hasimanim. Or Sadi Gon also in Sadi Hey has this formulation, or no, Sadi Gimel has this formulation, or Rukh Official Pearl is like, what's going on there? Or Baz talks about Idiyas Simanim. Basically, the idea there would be that the knowledge of Simanim, this active process of checking and making sure that your meat is kosher, reflects that it's a kiyum in this whole idea that eating meat is this elevated holy process. And so, by taking initiative there and making sure that simanim are kosher, thereby you're showing your investment in this process of kedushas Yisrael. Okay, so so now we'll move on. So those are our five, like, you know, sort of nafkamino categories or impacted issues categories. But now we're going to finish up with the Ramban's opinion and then the Rambam's opinion. So the Ramban is a little complicated because he seems to contradict himself between the Shurashim and in the his Perush al Torah. Why? What's the apparent stira? Yeah. Say.
Yeah, the Ramban and the Shurashim says that it's lav lomi kol aseir or
matir
in places
too. Sorry, say
loud. He says that it's lav lomi kol aseir or a matir.
Yeah.
But everywhere else, he seems to attribute a lot of significance to Shurashim.
Yeah, very good. So the Ramban al Torah is, you know, oh, kashir tzivisicha, you have to style it after a korbano, whereas the Ramban in the Shurashim at least appears to be that he thinks it's just a matir lava mechal say. So how do we resolve the Ramban? So Rav Rosenzweig argued that really the Ramban is not stating his own opinion in the Shurashim, but he's just really defending the Bahag. And he gives himself away. So first, in the Al Torah, right, it's a mitzvah. That's the Ramban. That's really the Ramban's shita. But there's a diuk in Shoresh Vav, where he criticizes the Rambam for counting mitzvos that he considers to be lav haba mechal aseis, such as b'dikas simanim, lending money to goyim, without interest. Now, what is the Ramban not include there in his critique of the Rambam counting lava mechal aseis? Yeah, shchita. What's going on there? So here, Rosenzweig sort of took this as proof or evidence that the Ramban doesn't actually consider Shechita to be a lav about Mithal Asay. If he did, he would have included it here in his critiques of the Rambam. So really, Ramban is a mitzvah, a Shechita guy. He's an elevated institution, its holiness, etc. Now, let's finish off strong with the Rambam. So the Rambam is super complicated, but actually very consistent. There are 8 issues in the Rambam. Here we go. Okay. All right, really, 8 points in the Rambam. Get the Rambam out, get ready. Okay, 8 issues in the Rambam. We'll try to get Alex to Mincha on time. We'll do our best here. Okay, Rambam. First, where does the Rambam put Hilchos Shechita? Sefer Kedusha. Oh, why is he putting it there? 2, Rambam counts Shechita as Chulin, despite not counting Shechita as Kachim as a mitzvah, even though he counts it as an avoda. What's he doing there? Also fascinating, right? Rambam can count a mitzvah of Shechitas Kachim. We know the Rambam could do that. Where does Rambam do that? Korban Pesach. We know the Rambam could do that. Why doesn't the Rambam do it here? It's not like he's totally unaware of a possibility of doing so. And it could be, to be fair, it could be that Korban Pesach is totally different. The emphasis on Shechita there is really key and critical. Maybe the makor for shlichus is derived from Shechita of Korban Pesach. So there's a lot, it's Kobeya the Chabura. Korban Pesach might be different. But it's still surprising because the Rambam does have this idea or concept of counting Shechitas Kachim. Doesn't count it here. Also, Rambam doesn't always count Matirim, right? Doesn't always count it. Nikor doesn't count it. So why is Rambam counting a Matir here? We've foreshadowed a little bit of this, but altogether, it really forms this big picture. Now the third issue is the Rambam and this gets back to Jonathan's point from before, which is how can we demonstrate that Psukim and Chaf through Chafet might be reflecting connection with Kachim? So what does the Rambam insert there? Or not insert, maybe not a fair term, but what does the Rambam put there as those Psukim talking about? Chaf through Chafet? B'chor Ba'amum. What's B'chor Ba'amum? What? Well, Psulei Mekdashin, right? So, Psulei Mekdashin. Now, again, we said Psulei Mekdashin has this sort of complicated status, but definitely still connected to the world of Kachim. Now, the Kesef Mishnah tries to explain, right, that there's 2 different types of Psulei Mekdashin, and B'chor Ba'amum is more naturally connected to regular Chulin, because there's no need for a pigeon. But, regardless, right, it's pretty clear that the Rambam does integrate B'chor Ba'amum into his counting of the mitzvah of Shechitas Chulin there, right? So it's, what exactly is going on there? It also seems to be a stira with Deos Hey Yud Aleph, I believe, because there the Rambam talks about this pasuk referring to Shechitas Chulin. Now, could be that Deos is talking about Din D'Rabbanan. We've sort of neglected to talk about the whole idea of Derech Eretz. We didn't really talk about that in Shir so much either, but there's this whole strain of thought that this is all about the appropriate way to eat meat. That's one of the possibilities Rav Yochanan Fishel Perlau suggests for Tzadi Hey. That's all about eating meat b'derech eretz. So this B'chor Ba'amum seemingly steer with Deos. That's our third issue in the Rambam. Fourth issue in the Rambam, right? We know Chaya is included in Behema. Chaya B'chal Behema. So why do we need a Hekesh? Why do we need a Hekesh to teach you that there's Shechita for Chaya? So the Rambam says, why do I need to teach that, right? So the Radvaz says that Vizavachta is talking about Kachim, right? So since Vizavachta is talking about Kachim, and there in Kachim is only Shechita by Behema, so there is therefore we need to have a separate limud. Okay, well, we started already projecting the answer a little bit, but just the Radvaz brings up this question, and then his answer is going to be part of our Mahalach. A fifth issue, hopefully there are 8 issues, because I got excited. Oh yeah, there we go. Fifth issue, Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos actually quotes both formulations of the Sifri. Right? He quotes the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai part, the Sefer HaMitzvos Kuf Mem Vav, but what else does he quote? L'Chudad N'Beficha, what does he quote? Exactly, right? Kasher Tzivisicha, well, Kasher Tzivisicha quotes both places, but Kasher Tzivisicha by Kachim Techulin. Why does Rambam do that? And what else does Rambam do there that's weird? What does Rambam do there that's weird? What does he put it on? Vizavachta. That's not what the Sifri says. So Rambam feels a need to somehow put it in, but doesn't put it on the right thing, and he quotes both. Interesting, right? Aron Swag pointed out that, you know, he in Aleph, he already uses Kashir Tzivisicha for Lachal Moshe Messina, so he obviously can't put it on Kashir Tzivisicha, needs to put on Mizavachta. But still, why does Rambam feel such a need to put in this notion of Shritas Kachim into the mitzvah of Shritas Chulin? The Sefer HaChinuch also does something similar. Take a look there also. Okay, 6. Rambam has a very strange formulation in Halacha Bet. Rambam says, V'hilchol Shkita b'chulan achas hein. Why does the Rambam need to say that? V'hilchol Shkita b'chulan achas hein. Why? Who cares that all chad, you know, one thing? Why is that such a big deal? Why does Rambam feel need to say, oh, b'chulan achas hein? That's the 6th issue. 7th issue is... And then the continuation. Sorry, that's most important, right? My bad. The chichach, right? I think either chichach is a drum. The chichach is the drum roll or the crescendo. One of the two. I forgot what the line. But everyone's talking like, what was called the chichach? One of those two. I forgot which one. So the chichach surely behemo chayov. So the Rambam says, oh, cool. And then he says, oh, therefore you need to do this whole bracha. So what's going on? This achas hein. Who cares? And all of a sudden that creates this lechichach. Sorry, it seems to be like a non sequitur. What's going on over there? Why is that connected to the bracha? Number 7, talking about the bracha and the Rambam. What's surprising? Havmi that's ma'akev. What? Who would think that it's a havmi that's ma'akev? Okay. Now, the Rambam, whenever he brings up a havamina that he rejects, you see, the Rambam's a codifying laws. There's no reason for him to bring up things that he's going to reject or that, oh, he's just quoting laws. Why would the Rambam include something that is obviously not the case? He does this in a bunch of places. One of the best ones is Kinyan Sudar. The Rambam, you know, people have this, you know, incorrect notion of what Kinyan Sudar is, but he quotes it because it's showing that what Kinyan Sudar is all about. Rambam does this by bracha for, don't think that the Birchas Nisuin is Nisuin. Why would I think that? Because Birchas Nisuin, you know, is Nisuin's all about sort of, you know, the different ways of starting. So Yishos, maybe bracha would be one of those ways of defining the process. The Rambam, and he also does this by Ksuva, that Ksuva, Eina Ksuva, Osa, Nisuin. The Rambam also does it there. Again, all these, is, you know, reflect that it's a certain perspective on the issue. But again, why would you ever think that it would be Ma'akev, the bracha? Now, the final issue is... why does the Rambam integrate Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Ishmael? Right. So, what does the Rambam do and this is Dalet Yud Zayin. How does the Rambam understand? Well, let's assume that it's talking about Rabbi Kiva. But what does the Rambam do with Rabbi Kiva Shita? Yeah.
The message to say
that Shchita is an evil question. Yeah. Right. We would think that maybe Shchita for Rabbi Kiva would be Shchita Nechira B'Midbar. But what does the Rambam say? Where can you only do Shchita? Never. No, you can't do it. You can't say never in by Chulin when Nechira is around. Why is the Rambam integrating Rabbi Ishmael into Rabbi Akiva such that you never have Shrita and Chulin together? So here, right, now we have to understand what's the Rambam doing. So the Rambam is really making two points. Right? One is that he's saying that the Rambam's argument, right, Shchita is part of the world of Kadshim. It's this holy institution. It's this process that reflects Kedushas Yisrael. And therefore, for the Rambam, we are not confused by him doing all these different things. Because for the Rambam, Shchita is so entrenched in the world of Kedusha that he needs to constantly emphasize this in different ways. And so here we'll just go back and try to explain the different ways. But also, the second point is not only does he think it's so entrenched, but the Rambam also has this idea that, and we mentioned this before, that Chulin, Kachim upgrades Chulin, but Chulin sort of downgrades Kachim, because by Chulin it's Kasher Bazaar, and so that kind of extends to both. Downgrades Kachim. Not entirely, still part of the vote, is still important, but it's sort of a necessary consequence or a cost of trying to bring Kedusha into daily life, that there it's downgrade. So really, those are the two main points of the Rambam's Mahalach. Let's just quickly retrace our steps. Rambam puts in the state for Kedusha, makes total sense. Why are you putting in the state for Kedusha? Holy institution, it's a Darvashal Kedusha. count Shechitas Chulin as a mitzvah, not Shechitas Kachim, makes sense, right? Shechitas Chulin is, you know, sort of downgrading Kachim, but Kachim is upgrading Chulin, right, to make it in Darash Shel Kedusha. Korban Pesach, you know, is a different category. It's, we have to explain that away as you know, being all about Shechita there. Bechor Ba'amum, do we have any question? Or it makes sense for the Rambam that Bechor Ba'amum is being associated with Basar Chulin, because the connection with the world of Kachim is so clear for the Rambam. The Radvaz's point is illuminating as well, right? The whole idea of why does Rambam need to teach us Chaya, because this is all about the world of Kachim for the Rambam. So it's not intuitive that I would necessarily have Chaya in there. I need a separate limud for Chaya for the Rambam to tell us that it's still included in this world of Kedusha, despite not being germane to the world of Kachim necessarily. The Rambam does this weird thing with the Zavachta and the Sefer HaMitzvos, but why is he doing that, the Rambam? He's doing it because the Rambam felt such a need to insert the world of Kachim into the world of Shechitas Chulin. And so therefore, even though it's not really the way it's different, he puts it, the Rambam says, I'm going to put it anyways in there, I'm going to put it on Vizavachta. In Shechita Aleph Bet, when he says this, V'hilchos Shechita B'chulan Achas Hein, and then he says, L'fichach, you make this bracha, what is he telling us by Kulan Achas Hein? So Rambam so suggested, Kulan Achas Hein is teaching us that this is all the same idea, it's all the same concept, that Shechitas Chulin is all about this Kedusha. And therefore we make a bracha. Therefore we make a bracha on this mitzvah, this matir of Kedusha, lefichach. Therefore we make a bracha. Now, the Rambam definitely doesn't hold the bracha's ma'akev, but the concept of the bracha being ma'akev, Rav Eldad Hadani, the notion that we're projecting an immense amount of significance to Shechitas Chulin makes total sense. Because while the bracha is not ma'akev, the bracha is so central, the bracha is a mitzvah, is so central to defining what this is really a mitzvah, this is an important institution, the bracha is critical. Finally, the Rambam, and this is, you know, will be a head start on the next Chazar Ashir. So the reason why he thinks that Shechita can never exist in the same context as Nechira is that Shechita is this holy institution. Shechita is a Darav Shel Kedusha. If you put Shechita together with Nechira, it downgrades Shechita. It can't possibly be that Shechita would be in this world where Nechira exists as well at the same time for Basar Chulin. Shechita needs to be separate. That's why it's only in Kachim. It can't possibly be in the same world as Nechira. The fact that there's Nechira, the fact that you can kill an animal that way reflects clearly that, you know, this is not a world of Kedusha, the way we're eating animals in such a way in the Midbar. Therefore, we definitely can't have Shechita. And so, the Rambam says that the Midbar, despite holding like Rabbi Akiva, Shechita can only apply to the world of Kachim, only Nechira is allowed in the Midbar. Okay, so that's the Rambam. So just a very, very quickly review. We mentioned seven, we raised the following chiluk. He said, is it about a narrow matir, or is it about a Darav Shel Kedusha? Here we pointed to seven different categories. Our first category was the relationship between Shechitas Chulin and Shechitas Kachim. We said three things there. One is how it's counted in the Minyan Mitzvos. Two, how it's derived. Three, other associations. Our second category was what type of mitzvah do you count it as, matir being the most significant. Three, what type of bracha, both berachas hamitzvah, both berachas hashevach, is attesting to this concept of it being a Darav Shel Kedusha. Fourth, nevela, right? Nevela, not so bad, but still we say you can't have it. Clearly, it's all about the distinction of Kedushas Yisrael. Five is the random connections thing that we saw. Six was the Ramban Shita. The Ramban also holds it's a mitzvah. The Ramban also holds a mitzvah. It's about this world of Kachim and Kedusha. Then we explain the Rambam as being this leader in this concept of that Shechitas Chulin is a Darash of Kedusha, and it's upgraded by the fact that it's connected to Shechitas Kachim. Shkoyach. All right.